And welcome to another segment of Open House here at Community Media of South Central PA. I am Raymond Galker. I'll be your host today. This is the show where we bring all brilliant, professional, awesome people into our studio. Correct, Jason?
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten that one yet today.
You haven't? No. Well, you should be getting it weekly because,
probably.
You know, Jason is the communications specialist at the Gettysburg National Military Park and the Eisenhower Historic Site. And one reason I bring up the brilliance is that Jason's been in the communications for the Park Service for 15
in one form or another. Yeah, about 15 years.
So actually Jason had the great opportunity of getting involved when digital literacy per se, the computers and the ability to have cameras that were affordable and such and website development. You were in when all the social media was beginning.
Yeah.
And you were very instrumental as one of the components for the National Park Service to come up with how to use that.
Yes.
Yes. So I am honored to have you here. So, Jason, been a while.
Yeah.
You went through your busy season.
There's no such thing as a not busy season, but yeah. The heavy visitation time period around the anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg, that was a very successful couple of days. And just a week before that, we reopened Little Round Top after nearly 23 months of being closed for a massive rehabilitation project.
Yes, and it was anticipation was huge for this.
Yes.
So, we have your website up behind us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone would go to your website, which I suggest that if you're planning to visit either Eisenhower Historic Site or the Park Service, the park, find out what's going on, and they could register for a lot of events on this site too.
There's no registration actually required. But all of the information that is going on at both parks, both Gettysburg National Military Park and Eisenhower National Historic Site, are all available on the two park websites. And this one's for Gettysburg, but we also have Eisenhower up here as well. And the addresses for those are relatively simple. All National Park Service websites start with the same address. NPS, short for National Park Service, mm-hmm. .gov, mm-hmm. and then slash, for Gettysburg, it's G-E-T-T, the first four letters of the word Gettysburg,
okay.
And for Eisenhower, it's E-I-S-E, again, the first four letters of the word Eisenhower. So these are really easy websites to remember, but they are linked back and forth, so just in case you do land on one and you want to go check the other one out, there are multiple ways to, within each of the two websites, to get back to the other one and back and forth and so on. So we try to make it as easy as possible for visitors, whether they be local or coming from halfway around the world, to plan their visit.
Cool. And you have a part where it shows anything that we should be concerned about?
Yeah. Yeah. At the top of every page, not just the home page, but here on every single page, is what the National Park Service calls the alerts section. And in the case of Gettysburg, we have two areas that are potentially closed off to visitors during possibly a visit. The top one here is certain areas around the Culp's Hill and Spangler Spring area for road paving. This time, I think this week and next week, is mainly nighttime rather than daytime, so it's very unlikely that it would affect too much. But again, all that information is right there, the full schedule of which roads and when they might be paved, might be closed, might be temporarily closed, maybe it's a one-lane scenario. All that information's just one click away. And then the same thing, we're doing a full restoration on another one of the park structures called the Rose House, and that that area is closed off as well, just for safety and security of the space.
Cool. Constantly improving.
Constantly. Never stops.
And the upkeep is amazing.
Every day.
As we go and scroll up on this page and go up a little bit more, this right there is like the cornerstone of such to your programs that you offer?
Yeah. On the homepage for both Gettysburg and Eisenhower, if you scroll up just a little bit on either of the two sites, what you're going to find is a series of tiles. And this is it's very easy to find, very easy to access, whether you're on a computer or a phone or tablet. You just click on any of these, and it'll take you right to that specific information pertaining to that project, that program, that activity that you might really be interested in or want to learn more about. So these are just some. This isn't the whole site. Both sites are very has a lot of depth to them, but these are just some of the quicker links that we've discovered over time that visitors tend to want or need the most often. So we make it really easy for them. Just put it right here on the homepage. And then also, when you're looking at here in the middle, we have a quick link to get to the World War II weekend information, and that's taking place over at the Eisenhower National Historic Site in September. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Education programs. So if you're a teacher or know a teacher and you want to get involved with education programs at Gettysburg, there's a quick link for that. And again, we just finished up the Little Round Top project about a month ago.
Yeah, and we have this down here, if we can come up a little bit. And right here it is.
Yep.
So why don't you click on that, please, Sean. And
so here on the Little Round Top rehabilitation project page, you'll find considerable information that's very specific just to Little Round Top. Scroll up just a little bit more. You'll get to another series of these tiles where we have an entire section dedicated to just frequently asked questions. We have a brand new area map, so you know exactly where you want to go, where you might have never gone before because there was never a trail system to get to certain areas before. And in fact, you may even want to think about parking not on the summit. Park along the roads, South Confederate leading into Little Round Top, or Sedgwick Avenue leading out of, and take new trailheads that weren't there before. And those new trailheads are going to take you into certain places throughout Little Round Top that maybe visitors have never seen before. So maybe try to think about, if you are coming to Gettysburg and you are planning to go to Little Round Top, think a little differently. Think maybe a little outside the box. Start your visit away from the center where so many people still like to go. Now granted, if you have mobility issues or anything like that, we absolutely want you to park at the summit because we now have four dedicated accessible parking spaces, and from that space, from immediately adjacent to those parking spaces, are a whole series of new accessible sidewalks, which did not exist before. So we really do have something for every visitor, whether it's a new visitor, a visitor who's been here maybe hundreds or even thousands of times, and from all walks of life. So all of this information is definitely something that if you're coming first time or the 100th time, this is probably still something you might want to check out to learn a little bit more about the Little Round Top Rehab Project even before you step foot here.
And you have input into the design of this website.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's brilliant. When you go to the very top, Sean, you have, again, your...
Yep, the alerts are always there.
And then I like that you have a video.
Mm-hmm.
To give some type of information and
yeah, in some cases we do have kind of overview videos at the top of some of the pages. In some cases, those videos really provide an opportunity for visitors, especially in a case like this where this video was created before the rehabilitation project got started, so you can really get a sense of how bad the infrastructure had gotten. The sidewalks were crumbling, there was serious erosion, there was no accessibility, safety was a major concern in this area. So you can get a sense of then versus now. And sometimes these videos provide that information.
And then you have your tiles.
Right.
And that breaks down into concepts related.
Yep.
And the visitors and the people who are giving you input have a lot to say about what tiles are developed.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're continually receiving information, getting feedback from visitors about what information they need. And if it's not up here, then we go back and talk amongst ourselves about what is the best way to get that information out. So then we'll find a place, a logical place to put it here on the website, and then we'll typically use social media to then proactively advertise that this new information is now on the website and link back to it. So social media and the website typically work hand in hand that way.
Constantly giving people information.
Yes.
That's what you do as a communication specialist, right?
That's it.
You do it well. What's at the bottom of the page? Was this page helpful?
Yep.
Again, bringing people into the immersive experience.
Yes.
That you work so hard to provide here at the park. So, took all year, very busy to get ready for July. July came. What were some of the highlights?
Some of the highlights were we were able to provide brand new experiences for visitors in places on the battlefield that we really hadn't highlighted in the past. And one of those was being able to step off from a portion of the southern part of the battlefield where parking is available, there's shade, so our rangers and especially the visitors can have some shade, but still talk about some of the really impactful moves that both armies would have made there on July 2nd, 1863. Not only that, but we also had a family activities tent that was set up in the mornings, again, for cooler weather, and then it shuts down and then kind of things move into the air conditioning of the museum and visitor center. But this family activity tent allowed children of all ages, to participate in what was happening around that tent on that day. So on July 1st, this family activity tent was out to the west of town, outside the McPherson Barn, which is a famous landmark. And then this tent would move around each day to a different part of the battlefield, and those kids, again, kids of all ages,
could
come back and participate in. We had Legos that they could build, like a barn or a monument or a house or a stone wall, anything like that. There was also, they could paint what they were seeing or imagine what was inside some of the structures, or maybe use their imagination and think about what that part of the battle would have looked like and maybe sounded like and certainly looked like to their eyes or through their eyes. So yeah, there were a lot of different hands-on activities that were available for the public and again, the kids, but that was a big hit this time around.
I can imagine.
So that's definitely something that once we learn that there's a good program or a good niche, we're going to keep coming back to it and even trying to improve it the next time around.
Because that's what you do.
That's right. It,
we'll constantly hear family, we'll constantly hear children of all ages because it's what's close to people's hearts.
Absolutely.
Definitely the fact creating things for the real youth. And you guys always work to improve. Was this tent concept the first time that you used it?
No, I think we've used it in the past. It's but some of the activities maybe didn't go over quite as well as maybe we had thought that they did or that they would. But this time around, we seem to have nailed it. And so we'll look to to not only keep that going, but find ways to continue to improve and make things exciting and immersive for kids, youth, families, you name it.
Everyone. Did you take any pictures of the kids doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
And they were able to take their paintings home with them?
Absolutely.
What a great. And you're going to be talking about another opportunity for the families in a few minutes.
Yes, indeed.
As we go on.
Yeah.
Okay, so July's down. Mm-hmm. We're in August.
Yep.
You continually have your campfire mm-hmm. programs. What other programs are occurring in August?
Yeah, so throughout the entire summer, August included, and really into September and into October, where programs begin to fall off, largely because of staffing levels. We lose a lot of summer help because of college. Some of our staff are still in school, so they go back to college and so forth. But yeah, we have regularly scheduled ranger programs at Gettysburg. You mentioned the campfire programs, and those take place Friday, Saturday, and Sunday evenings at 8:30 p.m. And yes, if weather conditions allow it, there is in fact a campfire mm-hmm. right there to provide the ambiance. Obviously, if it's really dry out, we don't have that for fear of setting off a larger fire. But then there's also the battle walks, which are very, very popular among folks who really like to get figuratively and so forth in the weeds of some of the aspects of the battle. And those take place Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 10 a.m. And all of that information can be found under the listing in the tile here that says full list of 2024 Ranger programs. And that information under that tile is updated every couple weeks based on, again, the schedule and kind of weather as well. So mm-hmm. we had the leftovers of Tropical Storm mm-hmm. Debbie rolled through here a few days ago, and we had to cancel a few of the programs because of the inclement weather. We've had to cancel some things earlier in the summer due to the extreme heat. Mm. If you are coming to Gettysburg and you are interested in these programs, if we do have to cancel or change or alter anything, all this information is going to be
on the website.
On the website.
And also
on social media. You got it.
Social media. Immersive.
Yeah.
Immersive. All these programs that you provide. So now we're moving into another huge event. Mm. It is the World War II weekend.
Yes.
And that will be on September the 20th, 21st, and 22nd, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Correct. Yeah, this is, we have two really big events throughout the year, especially the summer. The first one we just had a little while ago, July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, is the anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg. So we're just talking about that. That's annual. Well, Eisenhower National Historic Site has a version of that is incredibly immersive. Takes place right there at the farm. There's a field behind the house or in front of the house, depending on what vantage point you're looking at. But we've been doing this for almost, I want to say, close to 30 years, and we have approximately 300 World War II living historians who come in and create camps. This is all manner of United States troops and allied forces. So Great Britain, France, Canada, all of these allied countries, allied forces, they all have different aspects of the war, of World War II, and they have these immersive camps where they have all of their equipment, the tents, vehicles in some cases. There's motorcycles, bicycles, which I find fascinating, but jeeps and lots of other smaller vehicles. Nothing big, not like a tank or anything like that. But this is something that the visitors get a chance to truly interact with the history. And this is it's big. It takes up an entire field, and visitors just love the interactive elements that are provided for this.
And this is at the Eisenhower
Right, this
Historic
is
Site.
This is at Eisenhower National Historic Site.
Okay.
Yep.
And Sean has this up for us already.
Yep.
In the back here, you could
yep.
see an encampment.
Yeah, so this is just a very small example of what visitors can expect. But this is part of the World War II Living History Encampment immediately adjacent to the Eisenhower home.
So this here probably has how many people involved in this small little...
In that small little section, there might be as many as maybe 20, 25,
okay.
something like that. Yeah.
And so you're going to have, if you're going to have 300 people,
yeah.
then you're going to have about, what, 12?
12 times that many?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
At least.
That yeah. will be huge.
Yep.
Can you come up a little bit, Sean?
Yep, just come up a little bit. Here's another picture of World War II weekend. That was, I believe, 2 years ago. And here in this particular case, you can see that this camp is portraying the home front. Some of the services that the females, the women did on behalf of the war effort. So it's not just across the oceans, but it's here on the home front as well, whether it be scrap drives, metal scrap drives, victory gardens, things of that nature. So all of these elements all are in the same encampment, all at the same place and time. It's fascinating.
And there's links here for people to go to provide experiences for them.
Yep.
If they want a guide.
Yep.
And et cetera. If we can go down, there you go.
So yeah, we have, again, within the World War II features, there's an incredible amount of information that the staff at Eisenhower have produced over the years. We're talking about different articles that have been written, different stories that have been told. There's a whole series of videos as well. And in some cases, our staff has recorded interviews with individuals who work at the national cemeteries overseas. And so we've had conversations with their staff as well. So this is, talk about immersive. This really is that.
And if you're going to go to World War II weekend,
mm-hmm.
one nice thing would be to go here and become familiar with
yeah.
with what is going to be available, the opportunities,
yep.
and build up the anticipation.
Exactly.
And talk about anticipation. For this, you have two well-known speakers.
Yes, indeed we do. So part of this, part of World War II weekend is that we have a series of speakers over the course of the 3 days, and it starts off with a kickoff event Friday evening at the Museum and Visitor Center on Friday, September 20th. And the individual who's going to be speaking, his name is Henry Sledge, and he is the son of Eugene Sledge. And Eugene Sledge is a relatively famous name here in more modern times because he was featured in the Ken Burns series, the PBS series called The War, which was all on World War II. And he was also featured in the HBO miniseries, The Pacific. So if the name Eugene Sledge rings a bell, it might ring a bell per one of these or both of these miniseries.
And where does this take place?
So this particular one is going to be taking place, the first one is going to be taking place at the Museum and Visitor Center, and that'll be an evening presentation. Again, more information on that is coming out, so you're kind of hearing it even before it hits the website.
You held this off just for community media.
Yes, indeed I have. But most of these are going to be taking place on site at Eisenhower National Historic Site in a separate speaker's tent.
Okay, so this one will be at the visitor center.
Correct.
Do you have another one that's going to occur at the visiting center?
No, there won't be any more of the speakers at the museum and visitor center. The rest are going to be taking place on site. In a large tent that is specifically set up for these speakers, and large crowds can come in, get out of the sun, and enjoy listening to some of these amazing stories. Now, the other thing that is going to be happening, however, at the Museum and Visitor Center that is part of World War II weekend, just because World War II weekend is largely happening at Eisenhower National Historic Site, doesn't mean that there aren't things happening all throughout both parks. And I say that because there are going to be exhibits in the Museum and Visitor Center from four different outside sources. I should say three outside sources in addition to Eisenhower specifically. One of which is the Naval History and Heritage Command Center. Another is the United States Museum of the Navy. And the third one is the National Museum of the Marine Corps. So all three of those entities are going to be coming up and having temporary exhibits on site, as well as staff there to help visitors better understand what information they have and what items they're bringing for display.
Cool. You have another speaker, it's famous?
Yeah. So one of the other speakers, and there are many, but we're just pulling off two here. One of the speakers, his name is John Orloff, and he is the writer and co-producer, for those who have the app, the TV app for Apple TV, he is the writer and co-producer of Masters of the Air, again, another World War II related miniseries, and I believe, I'm not sure about this because I don't have this app, but I think that's either coming out soon or just came out recently.
Great. Now, I'm sure you have something for children.
Oh, of course we do. Of course we do. We've been talking about immersive activities this entire program, and I've got a draft here. This isn't finished exactly just yet, but this is a draft booklet for World War II weekend, and it's a family activity guide. And in here, in this booklet, kids are going to have a chance to really get into some of those camps that we were talking about earlier. Here's the requirement. They pick up one of these guides, and then they go around the Living History Camp there on the grounds of Eisenhower National Historic Site, and they look for one of 10 different camps that are going to be participating in this project, and they're going to have a sign out front of their camp that is a big blackboard, okay? And it's going to say, you know, family activity, stop here or stop in here. And from there, the kids are going to be able to participate in a program, ask the folks, you know, something specific about what they did during World War II, or who knows what. There's all kinds of fantastic backstory going on here, though.
Mm-hmm.
Once they get that, once they complete that activity, we have a place inside the center here for them to put on 5 stars onto the 5-star general flag, which is in going back to Dwight David Eisenhower, general, who became a 5-star general during World War II. And once they have completed all 5 of these activities, 5 out of 10, they will then be able to go back to one of our other tents that's going to be set aside just for this one activity. And we have a real historic World War II era dog tag machine where the kids can then have their very own dog tag made based on the work that they put in for this activity guide.
And of course, it's inexpensive, right?
Expensive?
Inexpensive.
Meaning free.
Free.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Everything that we've talked about here today, everything's free.
Free. So this would be a great time for people who are local. Mm-hmm. Now, is this going to be on Saturday, or is this
It's Saturday and Sunday.
The children's
Yes.
So, scavenger hut.
So the Friday the 20th is just the evening program at the Museum and Visitor Center.
Mm-hmm.
But the big camp and all the activities and all the speaker series and all the ranger programs and all of the Eisenhower house tours, that's taking place all day on both Saturday and Sunday.
So someone can come Saturday, get 5 stars mm-hmm. and a dog tag, come back Sunday.
Do it again.
Do it again.
Do the other 5.
Yeah, the other 5.
Absolutely.
And then be a 10-star.
Be a 10-star general, sure.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
What? Hey, if you live locally, if you don't, what a fun family activity. What a thrill for your children. Is there an age limit for this, for anyone to go through this?
Not really. It is meant for kids maybe 5 through 12 or so.
Okay.
But again, these are things that are available to kids of all ages.
Kids who have a heart.
Absolutely.
For World War II.
Yeah.
Great. And other than that, anything else you'd like to talk about and related to activities that are coming up on World War II?
So yeah, the Eisenhower home is going to be open for tours throughout the weekend. We talked about the exhibits from the outside organizations coming to the Museum and Visitor Center. Again, that's all free as well. No cost for any of this. Rangers are going to be giving programs in the Gettysburg National Cemetery as well, because of the hundreds of World War II burials that are there. So we're going to be talking about some of their stories as well. And something that we started last year was actually giving ranger programs of the encampment. So we're going to be doing those again this year as well. So there's all kinds of interaction, all kinds of immersion that visitors can get all throughout both parks, both at Gettysburg and at Eisenhower. And it's all free.
So their heart will be full by the time they leave. What is a ranger program at the encampment? Is that where the ranger talks and gives information to and from the people who are there about the encampment?
Yeah, so what the ranger is going to provide an overview of what the visitors are going to see, and then they're going to walk around the entire encampment, but then kind of hand off the program to some of the individuals who are actually doing the living history programs themselves.
Some of the 300 some.
Absolutely. So it's really a team effort.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the ranger almost becoming the narrator behind the scenes,
right,
leading the group around, and then uh-huh. allowing each of the individual groups in the individual camps to tell their story.
Their story from
yes.
their heart.
Yes.
Because to be a reenactor, mm-hmm. that has to be something that's close to someone's heart.
Yes, and because World War II is still recent enough, there is, in many cases, a direct family tie.
Mm-hmm.
So the folks who are going to be here typically have a direct family tie to 1941 to 1945 during World War II. Again, whether that be overseas or whether that be on the home front,
mm-hmm.
They typically have that direct link, and that's really what makes these so meaningful.
Do you ever have people bring artifacts that they have at home and just to show someone there?
Or? Absolutely. Yeah, that's another way of...
Visitors, I mean. Like.
Yeah, visitors can bring things along with them as well. And maybe they don't know as much as they would like about a given, maybe a piece of uniform, an article of uniform, a weapon. Now, we don't really do weapons, but they can certainly bring a picture of the weapon.
Keep your weapons at home.
Yeah, keep your weapons at home. But it's that opportunity to speak with someone who really knows what they're talking about, because in order to become one of these living historians, reenactors, you really do have to know your stuff. And most, if not all, of what they're using is, in many cases, original stuff. Mm-hmm. So they know what they're talking about.
So there's a lot of oohs and ahs.
Yes, very much.
You have that happen often, people bring in stuff.
It happens. Mm-hmm. It may not necessarily be a day-to-day occurrence, but during, like, a World War II weekend, because it is more of a more recent, where maybe uniform pieces mm-hmm. aren't nearly as delicate as they would be from the Civil War era, mm-hmm. From 100 years prior, it is something that has happened, and either the individuals will show us the Ranger staff, mm-hmm. or they'll also walk it around and see if they can't find someone in the camp who might know
about it.
A lot about it. Yeah.
Cool. Other than the World War II, close to my heart is your program that you have where you rent out farms and buildings so that people can spend the evening.
Yep.
Something new that you've been doing this year.
Yeah, that's called the Historic Leasing Program. Right now we have two houses that are in this program. One is called the Slider House, and the other is called the Bushman House. And both of these structures are on the southern end of the Gettysburg battlefield, and quite literally were witness to the battle on July 2nd, 1863. And visitors can now stay overnight. Minimum of two nights is the rule, but you can sign up to stay in either of those two houses.
How's that going?
Very well, very well. We initially released kind of late summer for fall and early winter, basically through the end of calendar year 23, and in about a week, we were sold out.
No kidding.
We were booked out. Yep.
For how long out?
Well, now that was just to the basically mid-January, and then we released another set of dates from mid-January through, I believe, the end of May.
Of next year.
Of 2025, and there are still available spaces for that time period. But the initial release of dates through the end of calendar 23, booked up in about a week.
The Rose Farm, you're working on the Rose Farm. Is that something you have in the back of your mind, opening that up also?
Potentially.
Potentially.
Yeah. What we're doing is this historic leasing program is right now a trial.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're gonna try it for 3 years, and we're gonna see how it goes, and if there is demand for it, if the program is working, and if it's something that we can maintain. We also have to be able to maintain it, and we also have to be sure that damage isn't being done and things are fixed on a very consistent basis. So there's a lot behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
that is also happening. But if it works, like we hope that it will, we have the potential to bring on another house and then maybe another house mm-hmm. over the years coming, and Rose and the Rose House may be one of those, mm-hmm. but no determination has been made just yet.
What a great opportunity for anyone out there locally or halfway around the world,
yes,
to actually come to Gettysburg National Military Park and stay in one of the homes that was part of the battle.
Exactly.
Part of the battle. Jason, is there anything else that you would like to share today?
You know, I'm gonna build off of the historic leasing. The one thing that I wanna make sure everyone understands and realizes is that the money that goes into that short-term leasing of that house, all of that money comes back to the park, but we can only use it for one thing: the continued maintenance and rehabilitation of structures.
Of structures.
That's it. Mm-hmm. So essentially, the money that comes in to those two structures ultimately is helping all the structures.
And all structures need maintenance.
Right.
and some of it needs a lot of rehabilitation.
So that's one important piece that I want everyone to realize and understand, that the money that goes into the program stays within that program and helps all the other historic structures.
So what you're saying is a family could sacrifice and rent a place out so that the money can be used to keep the structures in Gettysburg.
Exactly.
I was trying humor there.
Yeah, it was one of the things I think that a lot of people, though, once they understand that, it adds another layer.
Yes, it does.
Of importance to what's already very likely going to be a meaningful stay and visit anyway. But knowing that money is going right back into that structure or other structures, historic structures across the battlefield, it's very meaningful to a lot of folks.
Just being in the home, I'm sure would be a total immersive experience.
Absolutely.
Eating there.
Yes.
Be interesting.
Yeah.
For someone to come in and actually try to make the experience as close as it can be, trying to make the food that was there at the time and et cetera. Of course, the food that was at the house before the war was a lot different than what the soldiers had.
Yes.
Okay. Jason, thanks for coming back again. Hopefully
Absolutely. That
our schedules can match up, and this opportunity for you to come here and share all the wonderful things that are happening at the our National Military Park and the Eisenhower Historic Site. Great opportunities for everyone who's local and, again, halfway across the world, like you say, or all the way across the world. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back home with them, wouldn't we?
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
To have experiences, especially the one that you're going to have with World War II here on September 20th, 21st, and 22nd, where children of all ages can become a 5-star general.
Got it.
You know? So thanks again. Is there anything you'd like to say before we close?
Yeah, really, it really just comes down to, for any more information, any questions that you have, the answers are very likely on our two websites, nps.gov and then /GETT for Gettysburg, and EISE for Eisenhower, the first four letters of both of those words. All the information that you probably need, and probably some that you didn't think you needed, is all there.
Is all there.
Yes, sir.
And you probably are seeing it right now, thanks to Sean Garrett. And on behalf of everybody here at Community Media, Jason, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for watching this segment. We hope to see you at the World War II weekend. And until we have a chance to bring another awesome individual into our studio, be kind, stay healthy. Remember, you are the best. Thank you for watching the show.